and welcome back to the Good News Show with some real views on the fake news and other types of news available from different brands. And with me in the studio, looking really chipper, is James Byers. How are you doing, James?
I'm okay, yes. Happy 2017 to you and all. Yes, I'm not bad, thank you.
Yes, right back at you. Yeah, I'm doing really well. In fact, I would say that this is our first show of the year, and it's been a good year so far.
It's been a good show so far.
It can only go downhill from here. In both cases, I do hope not.
Good night.
Good night. And now it's time for the weather. But it isn't. No, it's time for our first look at what fake news. Yes, I alluded to that right in the little intro there. We've got a bit of fake news coming up. Now, this is a story that's been doing the rounds of mainstream media and on the alternative media on the internet of people being hired to go and be protesters at the Trump rally. Now, there's a rather strange chap turned up on Fox News saying that he was the guy, Dom Tulipso, T-U-L-L-I-P-S-O, but the two L's are silent, he said. I have no idea. And now he's been interviewed by Tucker Carlson, who's a presenter on Fox News, who's just got the prime time slot because Megyn Kelly, isn't it? She left to work for another network. So he's just stepped up, and he has on this guy who he becomes more and more incredulous at and ends up laughing through most of the interview. This is just the last few seconds when he almost gets Dom Tulipso, I suppose, to admit that it was all a con. Here we go.
Assange, Edward Snowden, Peyton Manning.
Right.
And we really support their efforts to really get the truth out there. And in the case of the current client that we have right now, that client is very interested in releasing the Roswell papers.
No way. Really? So you're pretty supportive of Peyton Manning, are you?
The key phrase that sort of tipped it over into laughter was... they were very keen. His client, this man, was very keen on release of the Roswell papers.
Yes, that's going to be 70 years, isn't it?
Yes, which I believe is to do with aliens, isn't it? So, So I would, you see trolling going on the internet. Now, this guy, whoever he is, whatever his real name is, that's got to be the best case of trolling since, of course. Since of course Donald Trump, who managed to do it by becoming president, so I mean you can't trump that, can you?
Obviously, you have in your opening sentence of a strange person turning up on Fox News.
Yes,
that is their entire day.
That's their entire shtick. Yes. Anyway, look.
In some ways, I think good for him. That's great. Yeah. I found it very funny.
It was very funny. Yes, he never did actually admit. If you're watching the clip, and I do recommend looking it up, he does smile at the end. The guy who's been interviewed is smiling, and you can tell he's visually admitting to it, but not verbally.
The 108-year-old woman was interviewed on Fox News. No. she was a 108-year-old woman who will be able to remain in her home after receiving $56,000, which I suppose is probably around £40,000, in a GoFundMe campaign.
Yeah.
And this is on ChristianToday.com. Carrie Roush, she lives in Ohio, and she was unable to pay to live there any longer. After the place she was living would no longer accept her Medicaid payments, which is strange because they would still get the money from Medicaid, so I don't understand. But anyway, she's got no other assets. Obviously, her husband isn't alive. Being 108, there wouldn't be that many people around her to help. But her daughter, there's GoFundMe, which is basically like sort of crowdfunding. She needed $40,000 to stay where she is for another year. And I hope she makes the other year just because she's got the money. And remarkably, she ended up getting $56,000 from 900 people, mostly complete strangers, and they decided to help her. So she'll be able to stay in her home for another year.
Yes.
And her daughter, they've given the extra $16,000 to St. John's Lutheran Church, where she's been a member for basically all her life. And her daughter says her mother's secret to such longevity is due to good nutrition and a positive attitude and a belief that God will always provide for her. And in this case, well, he certainly has,
yes,
through these other people. But I just saw this story earlier when I was saying, you know, what are we going to talk about? And I just thought that's a wonderful little story.
Yes.
Kind of made me smile. And I really hope she makes the year and beyond. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, at least, yes.
Story. Yeah.
So yes, it just shows there's no sell-by date on crowdfunding. Look at that, 108 years old, and successful crowdfunding of her. Is it crowdfunding and cloud funding? I suppose they call it crowdfunding that they when it's I say they people all these on the internets tend to call it cloud funding when it's when it's on the internet. Yeah, that's what I've heard anyway. But cloud or crowd, before she goes up to be in the clouds. She's been funded over 900 people. That's pretty good. If you look at look as I do occasionally at the crowd/cloud funding sites, and I can see that a lot of the people who are asking for money get pretty much nothing. I've noticed that. So a lot of people do it, and I guess they do it half-heartedly. But that is quite a success getting that. Yeah, well, do you know, I'm going to ask you a question now, James. Do you regard yourself as a real man? Are you a real man?
Most days.
Most
days,
yeah.
Some days I'm not sure, but sometimes I just kind of wake up and think, yes, I am a man.
Yes, yeah. And now there's been an article which we're just going to discuss here. It's out in Christianity Today. And they have an article entitled "Real Christian Men Do This," and then they're going to reveal what it is that they do. Now, what it is that they do is it's interesting that they point this out, because I've been thinking this. We'll come to what it is in a minute, what they do, but I had been thinking of this about there's a lot of people, a lot of men, particularly in the area in which I live, who really aren't real men. They do something. Or there's something that they don't do, which makes them sort of really pathetic losers, I would say. That's the technical term. And what they do, the thing that they don't do, rather, these guys around here, is they don't stay with the family. They leave their wife or girlfriend to look after the children. They just go. Real men don't do that. Real men stay with the family and are strong enough to be able to actually cope with looking after children. Now, what this article says is that real men follow Christ, but real men really follow Christ. You know, they don't just half-heartedly; they go for it. They follow him hard, as it says here.
Yeah.
Now, I think this is a great way of looking at it. You know, you could say, Christian men are a bit half-hearted, sort of. They're not real men. That's something that actually had been said to me. You know. You don't go out and really drink hard, and if you're staying with the family, that means you're a bit of a wimp. But the opposite is the case, you know. And so, yeah, if a real Christian man really goes in hard, and they pray and they worship, and they talk about what Christ taught, and they love one another. They love purity. They're not ashamed of the gospel. They pray for the sick. They rejoice when people are saved. They do all this. They keep on doing it because they've got real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're real men. What do you think? So I guess I would say that you are a real man. I mean, sorry to sound surprised. No, I mean...
There you go, you have proof there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's been many times where you and I have gone out and had a beer. There's nothing wrong with drinking.
No.
But true. The Bible speaks against drunkenness, so we don't.
We don't drink to excess, that's right, yeah.
No, and I think, you know, if somebody has a family and doesn't stay with them, sometimes it just doesn't work, and sometimes it's just nobody's fault. But if you get these men who are just irresponsible, don't want the responsibility, then that's, that is not a real man. That is a pathetic. It is a loser. People who obey the Spirit and pray no matter what, again, we're told to.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
And you see, as a church leader, I noticed that in many churches, including mine, the majority of people who attend are women. And when it comes to having a baby christened, so they're going to bring in the church, maybe not with a great understanding of the meaning of it, I say maybe, definitely not from my conversations with them in many cases, it's still the mother who is bringing them, often without the man on the scene. So I see the women doing what the men are meant to do. They're meant to be spiritual leaders. And they're pushing it onto women. Okay, the women are stepping up. That's good. This isn't a criticism of the women. It's the men are not doing what they're meant to do. So that's why I used, it sounds insulting. I guess it is. But I was using it, you know, advisedly. I was meaning the words that they're pathetic losers. You know, they've lost the real function of being a man. And they're pathetic in that they're just being weak by not staying with the woman who's the mother of their children. But of course, in some situations, it's the woman's fault. In some situations, things just haven't worked out. There's been a breakdown in the relationship. And some cases, of course, the man has died. So that's why he's not around. But the statistics are that, you know, me calling them pathetic losers, okay, it's not 100% of the time, but I'm pretty accurate most of the time. I mean, it's just, and it's endemic, and it's spread across the Western world. And I think that Christianity Today, this article, are spot on. They've got real men love God. Real men, will read the Bible, will commit to, if they have a wife, they'll commit to her. If they have a family, they'll commit to them. And they will do it, not wholeheartedly. They plunge in. That's the man. They do it. They're religious in a manly way.
Well, you know, it carries on here. There's another great little list.
Yeah.
It says the men in the Bible are no pushovers.
Yeah.
They're bold, strong, courageous. So unlike a lot of the men we see today. Today's men have a problem with their temper. God's men might have had short fuses, and a couple of them certainly did. But they knew how to control their tongue. Today's men pursue positions and careers. God's men pursued his will, kingdom, and righteousness. Today's men find it impossible to quit their bad habits. God's men are actually reformed men who've had various histories that would sound unbelievable. Today's men long for applause and fame. God's men grew famous because they lift God up, not themselves. And today's men think that they are great. God's men know that they are nothing apart from Christ. Now, apart here, you know, means literally apart from, if you don't have them. So it's apart and without Christ.
Yes.
Real Christian men love God and aren't ashamed to show it. And it carries on here. I'll read a bit more. Real men pursue Christ. They're bold in their faith. They don't shrink from opposition to their love for the Lord. David danced in praise.
He danced naked, I think.
That's the future episode here. Philip the evangelist approached the Ethiopian. That's a famous story. Now, we don't know what the Ethiopian did. And I've got to say, just a little side view, it's one of those little things from the Bible that really irritates me, because I want to know what he did, in the same sense that I also want to know where it says, performed many miracles, which are not written in this book.
Yes.
I always think, why? It really, as much as I, obviously, I adore the gospel, but I want to know what else happened.
Yes.
It's what, my little annoyance, folks.
Yes, yes. One day a list will turn up. P.S. Here's a list of all the other ones.
Well, when
and that Ethiopian, this will happen. Yeah.
Yes. You know, I would love to be able to ask God himself, you know, what happened.
One day.
And Peter boldly proclaimed that he will obey God, not man. Paul was fearless. So I think, and the Christian faith, it's not logic. There are logical things about it in terms of rights and wrongs and such like. But I think it really is. It's not of the mind. Of course, we give God our minds part of ourselves, but it is of the heart.
Yeah.
Therefore, that doesn't mean it necessarily is how we feel, because you can pray a profound prayer and feel how you did 10 minutes before. But no, I think to actually have a faith and to have convictions. Okay, it says real men, but even women and children, whatever age, even if you're 108, even if you're on Fox News, you need to have your conviction.
Yes.
And that is being real. That's being a real person, not to other people or an expectation of. So I think I agree with this article. And with what you said about sticking with families, absolutely, of course,
What I'm going to do now is an expert segue into the next article. I'm going to say, this is it now. I'm beginning now, right? This is expert segue begins now. Yeah, James, that was about real men. Now, you know, I think astronauts are really manly too. It's one of those things that you think. Didn't the last man to go on the moon, didn't he die recently? I hear that he did.
He did, yes. Gene
Seamless.
Kernan.
Seamless.
Seamless, yes, absolutely. Yes, he walked on the moon in 1972. He described his visit as gazing back to the Earth from God's front porch, saying the experience convinced him of the existence of a crater. He was commander of Apollo 17. So almost 45 years ago, well, it's in its 45th year now, the anniversary. And that's NASA correcting me.
Yes.
Who
leaves their phone on? Oh, it's mine. Yeah.
He guided the lander named the Challenger. So it's one of the famous, because there was Challenger, and I think the Challenger 2 as well. Anyway, in the lunar valley named Taurus Littoro, which Harrison Jack Smith was at his side. He recalled the silence after lunar lander's engine shut down. That's where you experience the most quiet moment a human being can ever experience in his lifetime. And he had 3 days before blasted atop a Saturn rocket. Now, I think faith and creation, not just of Earth, but of the whole universe, there is no entire way it is random. It was created by God, and bits of rock and asteroid break off seemingly at random, but God knew when they were going to break off. God knew exactly how long stars would live. God is, I would dare say, the only one who knows exactly how many stars are out there. There's been various guesses. But of course, yes, everything on Earth and around Earth and in space, which we've only discovered as humans, a tiny fraction of course it was God. And as if I need any more convincing, but I think to actually be up there and to see it, I bet, you know, I just bet it was fantastic. I mean, obviously, I'm never going to end up in space. But I think to actually be up there and just to fly through our orbit, and if you have a faith, as obviously we do, it must just be incredible. I mean, I see images of film of space and I'm amazed.
It's interesting that people have said, you know, well, you can't believe in God because of scientific explanations of the universe. It's interesting for someone who actually goes into space and looks back on Earth, so has a great experience, more than most of us have done, of seeing, you know, the grandeur of space. And in the case of Kernan, this led to him believing in God. It was, you know, it's the opposite of the claims of those who use science as a reason not to believe. But you can use it anyway. I mean, there is that argument that the design, the intricate beauty of the design of what you see in the universe leads you to see, not only is the creator, but this creator is pretty good at what he does.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there is, creation is perfect. There is nothing wrong with creation, only the way us humans have screwed it up.
Yeah.
Largely for ourselves.
I think screwing up, whilst not a uniquely human activity, I think that we've raised it to perfection. I mean, I always say when you're looking at something that's gone terribly wrong and people turn to conspiracy theories, I thought, no, it's more likely that someone messed up. And I've always been right. So far. If it ever happens to the contrary, you'll hear it here first. Kernan's visit to the moon, is interesting. He was actually 73 hours on the moon's surface. So it wasn't just a quick trip. Although I see that he logged 566 hours in space, but so as a proportion, it wasn't large. But that's quite a long time. That's a whole weekend.
Of course, yeah.
A week a trip.
That's a lot of cheese to walk over.
Yes, that's why. Yeah. I see. Maybe we need to have a talk later about the science of the moon.
Yes, there's a few things I need to teach you. Anyway, certain signs in heaven and the current world events have caused some Christians to believe that the end times are near.
Oh.
Yes. Now, right. Before I read any more,
yes.
Every few months you and I do stories about this, because not only are they not true, only God knows, but in some ways I find them fascinating because people have taken the time to do this.
Yes.
Anyway.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yes, on January the 12th, so a few days ago, and I think we're still here, the appearance.
Let me check.
of a wolf moon, the first full moon of the year. In addition to this, the planet Venus was at its brightest in 8 years.
Mm.
These two events occurred on the evening before Friday the 13th. Well, I don't know, I had my windows closed and the lights off all day, so I missed it. although all three of these events are not extremely rare occurrences, some have speculated that it is significant that they happened on the same day. Well, I don't believe in coincidence, but it's interesting to back up their prophetic predictions. Some cite Luke 21, which says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity." The sea and the waves roaring. Mm. There's barely 10 minutes when the sea doesn't have waves.
Yes.
Some have also noted how tumultuous the world is currently with crises such as Aleppo, the Arab-Israeli conflict. They have also noted that the impending inauguration of President-elect Uncle Donald, a major political event, these events, they say, could be interpreted as the distress of nations.
Oh, poor old Donald Trump. Oh, yes. He tries his best. Leave him alone.
Yes. Here's the thing, though. All these predictions of the world, the end of the world, what I will give them is that no prediction has been more wrong than any other. So, in fairness to that, I will give them that. No, they have all been just as wrong as each other.
Yes, I get where you're going from, yes.
They've got that in common. But here's the thing, though. God will decide when the earth ends, and one human being will guess that it will be on this day.
Yeah.
So one human will technically get it right, yeah. I suppose. But it won't be anything he comes up with. It'll be all God. So even then, it's not a correct prediction.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's sort of the stopped clock syndrome. You know, a stopped clock is right twice. Yes. Yeah, in the same way that someone's bound to be right. Yeah. Now, I noticed as you're reading out from Luke 21, verse 25, it's very difficult because of the tenor of this article and these the way people are treating it, not to read it out like that. Was it a Monty Python test, or was it who are those? Beyond the Fringe. Do you know the sketch where they're heading for the end of the world? When will it be, Brother Enim?
Oh, yes,
oh there shall be a wind dancing on the. Yes.
That's right. That is Beyond the Fringe. Yes.
Look, if you're listening to this, I'll try and put a link. I'll get someone to put a link in the description underneath, and we'll see. We'll see if you think that James sounds like whoever it is, whichever actor. I'm a bit confused there as to. I'm confused because they ended up doing work together, didn't they, on things like The Secret Policeman's Ball. And that sketch is very amusing, and I thought James sounded just like it then. But of course, funnier. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I think that you had the classic Freudian slip there. You tried to say prophetic and said pathetic.
Which one do you think was right then?
Well, I think both. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's sad that people don't go through the work of actually seeing what these Bible verses meant in context, and by context, I mean in the context of the entire Bible. There is an Old Testament to the Bible. You don't just take them, wrench these parts out of the Bible, and try and make sense of them. This particular verse, Luke 21:25, where it says there'll be shining signs in the sun and the moon and the stars upon the earth, it's about the change of political leadership, and you can tell that. Partly because in the Luke version here, which it features in the other Gospels, but in the Luke version, it's made very clear that it's talking about the distress of nations. It actually says it there. That was understood, and similar prophetic utterances in the Old Testament were seen to have been fulfilled when there was a change of king. You know, I'm not making it up, folks. It really is what it meant, how they would have understood it. And there was a huge change, and the biggest change, of course, Jesus is king. There you are. There's been a change of who's in charge. So it's not something that's going to happen. It's already happened. The end of the world, as you were saying, James, we don't know when that's going to be. And there won't be, you know, there isn't a sign of it. God knows in the literal
Absolutely.
Sense.
Yes. Yeah.
So stop trying to predict it, folks. Just stop it, please. On the other hand, don't, because we have a good laugh every few weeks.
Oh, I am sort of fascinated by this stuff.
Yes.
I mean, in some regards, I love it because obviously it's not going to happen when they say, but when I read it, I just think, well, I'm in a weird way, I'm impressed by the time they spent coming up with it.
Yes.
You know, I find it interesting. I don't believe it, of course. I want to make that clear, as I said, but I do find it interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so well done.
Conspiracies, they're well, interesting, but the. Yeah.
Top marks for trying. Well done. Well done, chaps. Well done. Now, we're going to close out today with a look at the President of the United States. Now, when this show first airs, this guy will still be president of the United States, but not for long. He'll soon be saying, "That's all, folks." Now, this is a little clip, an audio clip of President Obama awarding to Joe Biden the highest award that you can give to a civilian, the Medal of Freedom. I'm going to play it. Now, you can't see it, but I'll describe afterwards what was happening. Here is Obama's first words as Biden just becoming aware that this award is going to happen. Apparently, had not been told beforehand.
Biden is to know that love without pretense, service without self-regard, and to live life fully. As one of his longtime colleagues in the Senate, who happened to be a Republican, once said, if you can't admire Joe Biden as a person, you've got a problem. He is as good a man as God ever created. So, Joe, for your faith in your fellow Americans, for your love of country, and for your lifetime of service that will endure through the generations, I'd like to ask the military aide to join us on stage.
Here he comes.
For the final time as president, I am pleased to award our nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Okay, now as that round of applause sounded, Joe Biden turned his back and took out of his back pocket a handkerchief. He then dabbed his eyes and turned round, and then he was crying. The cynic, a cynic would say, what caused the crying? Was it the handkerchief or was it the moment? What are your thoughts?
Maybe he knew when the end of the world would be.
Yes. on Friday, I think that's what they're saying. But,
yes, I don't know. I mean, I would like to think he was swept up in the moment, or maybe, you know, if he didn't cry, that the Secret Service would have swept him up literally. I don't know. No, see, I think if, you know, that thing, if you don't admire Joe Biden, there's something wrong with you. Well, you know, does he admire us?
Yeah, he's never said that he doesn't.
Oh, well, that's all right. But I'm not going to say I don't admire him, and that's fair enough. No, but I think it's lovely because it's great when anyone receives an award for that person. So you think, well, would you give it to them? Does he really... but I think it's not untypical of people leaving office to reward the people
who helped.
They've worked
closely. Yeah.
I think
as far as Obama was concerned, Biden has been there at his side, has supported him. So I would say, yeah, it, from Obama's point of view, he's been great. I do think that, but I don't know enough about him. Perhaps he's passed me by. Perhaps he has done great things, but it seems to me he's just been there or thereabouts. You know, he's been in the Senate. I mean, when they or if they introduce term limits, which there's talk, there's a plan to do it, put up by Ted Cruz. If that does happen, then he would have had to go and find another job at some point. So, I'm not convinced that he deserved it, but I also the reason for my cynicism that he was actually unaware and that actually he was just preparing to make it look like it was a surprise and crying is the rather obvious fake tears of Obama over the shooting incident, where the Sandy Hook shooting, when he very obviously dabbed his eyes and created and made it look like he was crying over the children, as though his response was the only right one, and anyone who disagreed with him hated the children and wanted them to die. That was sort of the impression he was giving. I felt that was obvious acting from Obama, and I thought, well, you know, Biden as his right hand man, maybe he does that as well. But
well, it could be. Yes.
Let us know what you think in the comments or on Twitter at TGNSUK. If you're not listening on YouTube or Spreaker, where you can leave comments, then, you know, get in touch with us on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. But that's about wraps it up for the Good News Show this week. We'll be back next week with more views on the news. And next week, we'll be in the Trump era. So maybe there'll be more to comment on. Who knows? So from all of us here on the Good News Show, Good News Show, Good News Shoe and Good News Show, yes. Blessings to you.
Bye.